You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jamie and Jason. This is episode 232, and today Jamie and I are going to be talking about what it looks like to parent and lead your family in a very digital age where we have glowing rectangles that surround us. You know, we have our technology always at our fingertips, access to the internet at our fingertips, access to Netflix and all the other things that are highly addictive on screen. And then there's the things that aren't necessarily on screen, but they're just modern conveniences. We can maybe touch on some of that too, that go with our technological age. And what we really want to do is not necessarily say we have all the answers, because we don't, but we do have wisdom from Scripture we can share, and we can think through some of these things in a practical way, because I think a lot of parents are wrestling with questions. I mean, I've had parents talk to me about this, like, what do you think is a good age to give your child a smartphone? And I say child because, you know, parent-child relationship. At some point, a parent's going to realize, okay, they're coming home from school and all their friends have their iPhones or smartphones. And, you know, they're all communicating on all these apps. And I don't even know what these apps are. I can't even get used to all the new names out there. And I also want to be faithful as a follower of Jesus. I want to raise my children to walk with the Lord and to be present and available in the home, things like that. I don't want them to always be glued to the screen. So how do I implement even that simple process of handing a smartphone to my child? Other questions we can come up with, but I think, Jamie, another big one is it bad that we have become so dependent on technology for so many things? I mean, a simple example is, like, when we are planning a trip, like, who doesn't look at the weather of where they're going to be going? Who doesn't plug into their map app, you know, either to get to that location or once they're at a location? You know, if they're not familiar with the area, then they're, almost everybody does this. They plug in the address and they try to figure out how to get there, or they use Uber or something along those lines. And because all these things are very convenient, they're very nice in many ways. It's nice to plan trips around these things, and it's nice to be able to be aware of what's going on in our world, you know, checking the news feed on our phone, things like that. So there are very many conveniences, but the question is, at what point do we become too dependent on technology? And what's, maybe there's some people who would push back and say, well, I don't see any problems with all the dependence on technology. It's there, it's available, and it's becoming cheaper in one sense. It's becoming cheaper and more available to people who didn't used to have access to these things. So isn't that a good thing? So that's a question we'll think through. Maybe a good place to start, Jamie, is in respect to, I guess, parenting in particular. When we're trying to walk with our children and help them understand, and for those parents who are listening, help them be able to parent wisely in this age, what's a good passage to consider? Maybe you can think of a place you would want to turn to encourage parents. One that I thought of is Deuteronomy 6, and, you know, it's a very important passage because of the relational aspect to this passage. It talks about parents being with their children. Now, this was written a long time ago to the parents of Israel, and so this is pre the incarnation, but it's very practical wisdom, really, and it explains how God envisions that parent-child relationship to work in the home. It says in Deuteronomy 6, chapter 5, beginning in verse 5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. So I think that's a good passage just to start us off, because Deuteronomy 6 emphasizes the withness of parenting. That as much as people and our younger people today, especially Generation Z, we could say, are getting used to these social interactions that are on screen, and they are developing relationships that are in almost every way digital, and they're interacting with their friends digitally. What Deuteronomy 6 emphasizes is that physical, face-to-face interaction, not just that they need a word from you, they need authority over them, which of course kids do, they need to be parented, but what they also need is that relationship. They need you to be speaking wisdom alongside them. They need to hear of it regularly because, again, the emphasis is you should teach them diligently to your children these words that I command you. So Scripture and the principles from Scripture need to be diligently taught. That means that it's going to take hard work. It's not going to be any, you know, parenting is not for the faint of heart. I think we've said that before, but it's not something where you can necessarily find an easy path if all you're looking for is how can I parent conveniently. So the Bible's very honest with us. You have to work hard at it. But it says you shall talk with them. And I think that's something that, you know, even that alone, we don't want to overlook the importance of having that relationship that is constantly conversational. You know, it's one thing to find out, you know, where your kids' schedule is happening, where, you know, where their piano recital is happening, when their game is happening, and being present and cheering them on. All of that is good, you know, taking them to church. Obviously, we're big advocates of that. But there's also a point at which you have to have that one-on-one interaction. You have to be able to talk with them and hear their heart and learn about what they need, learn about what they're going through. Because if you don't have those conversations, what will happen is they'll end up taking their feelings, their thoughts, and their concerns other places. And very often, again, in our digital world, it's going to be somewhere online. And that can very quickly spiral into a bad place where people are maybe posting things in an emotional outburst, or they're going to certain social media influencers that maybe sound good in the moment, but actually in the long term is not going to give them good wisdom. So this is where that withness of parenting is so important. But in addition to that, Jamie, what would you add as far as just kind of some baseline things that parents need to be encouraged by today?
Yeah, so my first thought to that is to say, I mean, I totally agree with you. That time, that interaction is super important because that equals influence, right? So one of the, I think, traps that a lot of parents fall into today is, oh, I've got to provide my kids with the very best of whatever, which means I got to work more, I got to be out of the home more, I got to be, you know, doing those kinds of things, trying to make money so that I can provide my kids with, oh, they got to have, you know, all this and that and the other thing. And that seems to actually work against what God calls you to do as a parent, that because then what happens? Well, somebody is going to fill that void. And like you're saying, it's going to be filled by social media, which is driven by what? The culture. It's driven by the world. And what is the message being, what's the message that they're consuming in all of this? Because there is messages. It's all messages. Literally all of it. All social media, all these apps, all the news, everything. Everything is driven by agendas and has messages. Even movies today. Like, gone are the days where you just have fun movies that don't really have any particular purpose or plot. Now it's always pushing a very clear message, and it's always in line with whatever the cultural hot button issue is of the time. In fact, I even heard today, I was reading an article this morning about how For the first time ever, the Macy's Day Parade is going to have a theme, and it's a theme in favor of transgenderism, you know, that particular issue. So now even a parade will be presenting a message, right? That it's not just simple entertainment. It's something. And so the point I would want to make, along with Jason's point, is ask the question, what are we thinking about? And what are we encouraging our kids to think about? Because even that statement that Jason made at the beginning, you know, a lot of parents look around and they go, well, all these other kids have this or have that or are doing this or are doing that. As a parent, that's a stupid question. Who cares what other parents are doing? Especially if you look at the kids those parents are producing and you go, that's not the result I want. Why would I care? Oh, they give a 6-year-old a smartphone, so I should do that. It's like, well, so if they gave their kid a loaded gun, would you do that? Well, no, of course not. That's stupid. Well, that's what a smartphone is. It's a loaded gun full of, yes, there are some good, but there's also some bad and some dark in. One of the things I was thinking about, Jason, is Colossians chapter 3, where we are encouraged as the believers in the Lord Jesus. You know, he starts the chapter of Colossians 3 saying, so if you've been raised with the Messiah, seek the things above, where the Messiah is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on what is above, not on what is on the earth. For you have died and your life is now hidden in the Messiah, in God, which the Messiah, who is your life, is revealed. Then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, put to death what belongs to the worldly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God has come on the disobedient. And you once walked in these things when you were living in them, but now you have put them away. And he goes on to, you know, list even more things that you are to put away. And the point is, I think you really have to think about, if I'm a parent, what do I want my kids to be about? What do I want my kids to be thinking about? What do I want the influences in my kids' life to be? Because social media is full of a lot of really bad, a lot of really dark, a lot of really evil things. In fact, sometimes, you know, you'll click on a Facebook Reel video because it looks interesting. My favorites are the food videos. I love those food videos where you watch them make a meal or something in like 3 minutes, right? It's like the sped up version of, and you're always like, ooh, that looks really cool. And then very often what happens? Well, you click to the next little video, right? They're super short. And then what's the next video? It's usually not great, right? It's some agenda or some perspective or pushing, you know, things that are not godly, that are not good, that are very often sexual or very often against, you know, God's good design or God's good plan or God's good purpose or God's good idea for gender or ideology or any of these kinds of things. And you just think like, boy, you take all that stuff in. And what I think we got to really realize is we cannot take things in and not be affected by them. That's just a fact, right? And it's even more true with your kids who are very wet concrete. You're right. They're thinking hasn't hardened yet. Their beliefs haven't hardened yet. Their worldview hasn't hardened yet. And unfortunately, if I allow culture to permeate into their minds and their hearts and their souls so much all the time, then I'm going to end up with kids that will have a hardened worldview, and it will not be in line with the things that are above, that will not be in line with the things of God.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, we're called to not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It's Romans 12. And I think that, you know, in addition to what you've been pointing out, I think the dangers are something that kids need to be fully made aware of. So when it comes to the question of when do I give a smartphone to my kid? Well, that is an important question, but it's also worth asking what will I do? How will I train them to handle that smartphone? Because like you said, it's a loaded gun. It's like, you know, just like when you're teaching your kids to drive for the first time. I'm not yet there with my kids. They're still below driving age by quite a few years. But at that point, I'm sure I'll want to be taking time, you know, with them. I'm going to be making sure they're in a safe environment when they're first getting behind the wheel. I'm going to make sure they take their time. I'll walk them through what to be aware of, you know, all the things that you would expect. And that's how we should treat technology. Smartphones would probably be maybe the biggest thing to consider because that's something that's readily available. You can stick it in your pocket. But also, you think about how TVs today, they're smart TVs. You know, kids, I know my boys know how to get on. They know how to get on the YouTube and our smart TV and find these educational videos, which, of course, are good and safe, and we're allowing them to do that. But the point is they already have the knowledge to search and find a video that they're looking up. And that's just something where we want to walk through that with them. And I think a big thing that probably when it comes to smartphones, because they're so accessible, because we always seem to have them with us, like that's just kind of the way it happens. I think we need to be intentional about having times where we're not with our phones. So obviously around the dinner table would be a very good time to say, and maybe just establish this as the parents that, hey, I'm not going to have my phone out and available, and I'm not going to look at it when I'm at the dinner table, and nobody else is. That's kind of going to be our household rule. And don't be afraid of implementing these rules. Some people think like, oh, rules, I don't want to be coming across as legalistic. Rules, you need to have certain rules. Certain rules are important to have, and it helps establish boundaries and sets limits for kids so that eventually the hope and goal is that they will set limits and boundaries for themselves. So just like when you're on a dangerous highway overlooking a cliff, you want to have those guardrails. It's a similar mindset. You want to have guardrails in place because you want them to succeed. You want them to do well. And if they see you modeling good discipline and not always looking at your screen. So something interesting, I remember hearing this from a poll of teenagers. This was several years back, so a little bit dated. But one of the biggest things, the question was, what is the biggest thing that you would change about your parents if you had the choice? And one of the, maybe it was the highest answer, was that my parents would spend less time on their phones and more time talking with us. And so even though we might be surprised at that answer, like we might expect teenagers to be very much self-involved and not interested in parental input, actually the research has shown the opposite. Teenagers do want parental involvement. They see the value of it, even if they're, you know, they have a rebellious tone or they talk back and things like that, and they pretend they don't want to hear what you have to say at times. Sure, that happens. But the reality is God designed parents to be that voice of wisdom and encouragement and guidance and all the things that kids know they need. If they're on the level with themselves at all, they know they need these things. And that's what parents are there for. That's how God designed the household to work. And so if they see you interacting with them and putting the phone away and not always scrolling on your news feed or whatever it might be, you know, I'm not even going to take a guess on what people are most often drawn to, but that's one of those things. If you can have the discipline to just set that aside, maybe even put it in your pocket, you can still have it on you, but not out and visible all the time. I think that goes a long way to say, I'm here, I'm present, I'm available. If you want to talk, I'm ready to talk. If you want to engage, if you want to do something together, I'm here. As opposed to everybody kind of turns into their glowing rectangles and has their own me time, And in the long term, people will develop these habits where they won't look to other face-to-face interactions when they're moved out of the house. And these kids will grow up and they'll start to get used to the idea that they don't need the wisdom of the community per se. They don't need the wisdom of the church. They don't need the wisdom of their family. They can basically turn inwards or turn to their phone and find the wisdom that they want to find there, which is not always true and helpful wisdom. So that's a big thing. I think the other thing is you want to walk through with your kids the importance of not buying the lie of anonymity. And Tony Ranky, I think is how you say his name, or Ranky, he wrote a great book called 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. And he says in his book, technology makes us think we can indulge in anonymous vices, even conceptually, without any future consequences. Anonymity is where sin flourishes, and anonymity is the most pervasive lie of the digital age. The clicks of our fingertips reveal the dark motives of our hearts, and every sin, every double tap, and every click will be accounted for. And so that's just a reminder that we need to model integrity for our kids, and we need to teach them integrity and tell them, like, hey, you know, you may have this mindset where when you're online, it feels like you're anonymous. It feels like you can say whatever you want. It feels like you can see whatever you want. It feels like you can go wherever you want. That's a lie. That's a lie, because you will be held accountable for that. And also, you're developing something in your own heart when you practice this false anonymity, and you may be telling yourself, no one will know, no one will care, no one will do anything about what I'm doing on my phone or who I'm interacting with on my phone. But long term, you're going to feel the consequences of that. You're going to realize, yeah, I've been hearing bad wisdom, or I've been looking at things I shouldn't be looking at. It's not pure. It's not right for me to be doing these things. Or I've been blasting people online because, oh, it made me feel good in the moment. I like being able to tell people how wrong and stupid and foolish they are. But in reality, what you're doing to your own heart in that is you may feel anonymous, but you're creating a pattern in your own heart where you deal with other people in ways that are not loving, not caring, not seeing them as image bearers of God, not respecting what God has created them to be. And instead, you're using them. You're treating people as things, and you're no longer acknowledging the sanctity of life in the most important way. So I think it's good to talk through these things with your kids, help them recognize these are real dangers, and be aware of this, just like you would with training kids to drive or training kids to, you know, gun safety. You don't just put it in their hands. You walk through these things with them and take them by the hand, as it were, through that process, and be open to what they have to say, but also tell them, look, we're going to have certain limits. I think another great one, by the way, is never let your teen take their phone into their bedroom by themselves. I think it's just good, reasonable, very practical. All kinds of problems can happen because, you know, if they're always taking it to bed at night, then again, anonymity, that false lie. But there's a sense of good transparency that happens when the kids can have their phone out in the family room or in the presence of others. You know, there's never a sense of, well, mom and dad are always looking over my shoulder. It's just simply mom and dad are here, and what I'm looking at is going to be something that I'm not going to be embarrassed to show them. Or, you know, so it's not creating that sense of parents are the spies. Instead, it's just the accountability that needs to happen. And so you can avoid the mistreatment or the bad use of iPhones and smartphones by just saying, okay, we're going to charge our phones in the kitchen overnight, that type of thing. You know, just good practical steps to create boundaries, because again, they may not appreciate it in the moment, but long term, you're helping them develop good habits that you want them to take on into adulthood.
Yeah, and it's worth noting too, Jason, you're protecting your kids and they don't even understand that, or they don't even necessarily see that with the hope, the goal that, you know, they do avoid getting into great danger, perilous sin, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it makes me think the biblical imperative, like in John, 1 John 1, we're told that God is light and in him there is absolutely no darkness at all. So we're called then to walk in the light just as he is. And the result is we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And Jason, when I read that, you look at that, it is a universal emphatic that there is zero darkness in God. And if we are in him, then that also means there's zero darkness in us. Meaning there is no place, if you're a believer in Jesus, there is no place for secret. There is no place for darkness. There is no place for hidden sin. There is no place for any of that. And when you realize that, that is a radical kind of transparency. That is not something that the world is about at all. Literally, my understanding of this, and of course, this isn't the only text of scripture that speaks to that, but my understanding of all these verses in scripture is that we are called to be completely open and transparent people, and that's how we live. And so it is actually, like you're saying, Jason, we are actually supposed to have everything we do be in view of others, and everything we do be accountable to others, and there be absolutely no space for anything private or secret. And I'll even add, I think you as a parent should be super suspicious of people that tell you you should respect the privacy of your children. I think, because most of the time, that's either coming from, well, ignorance. Okay, we'll give some the benefit of the doubt, right? Ignorant thinking. But the vast majority of the time, it's people that want to influence your kids, and they want to influence them in a way that is not in line with what you believe. And they know that, right? This is why, like, teachers were telling parents, oh, you have to leave the room when your kids do Zoom education at home. Like, no, you know, or doctors that say to a parent, oh, you need to leave the room so I can talk to your 12 or 13 or 14-year-old kid. No, absolutely not. No. Heck no. Maybe even hell no. Not happening. And I mean, I think this is a well-documented point, right? Like, I'm not breaking ground here to say that generally the people speaking that kind of truth to say, oh, your kids need their privacy, they need their independent space, that no, absolutely not. Not in ways that have such great danger, like social media, like phones, like the internet, like, you know, that kind of stuff. If it's like, hey, you want to be alone with a book? Cool. Go for it. That sounds good. I mean, assuming we know what the book is and, you know, it's not evil. But that's a whole different thing, right? But here is the internet, especially, is treacherous. And we've watched, for example, just using pornography, we've watched the age of first exposure decrease dramatically quickly over just a handful of years. You know, when Jason and I were 12, you had to get on dial-up internet. You had to, you know, it took 30 minutes to look at an email. That was a whole different thing than now. In seconds, you can get anything in any part of the world, right? Billions of servers all around the world full of content. Most of it is evil. Most of it is godless. Most of it is culture driven. most of it is sexual, then you as a parent are a fool, literally a fool, if you do not protect your kids and encourage the transparency. And like Jason said, part of that is literally living that out as a parent as well, that you're honest and open with your kids and you admit, you know, this isn't just like, oh, we make our kids do these things. No, we need these things as well, right? I need to be transparent in all of my social media use and all of my internet use, just like my kids do.
Yeah. And when you were saying, you know, the idea of privacy for children, it made me think of how Jesus, okay, so he is the sinless incarnate Son of God. And yet scripture is clear. It says in Luke 2:51, and he went down with his parents, came to Nazareth, and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And then it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And that's just kind of like a simple outline. I mean, really, we don't know a ton about Jesus' growing up years, but if we're going to take a quick snapshot, it's Jesus sought time with his Father in heaven because he was in the temple interacting with all the religious dudes, but he was, it says, submissive to them in everything. You know, so it's not as though Jesus said, look, I'm the Son of God. I know better than you guys. I've been around for forever. So I have a better perspective than you guys. No, he submitted to them because that's what it means to be an obedient son. And he was an obedient son to both his biological mother and his adoptive father. And because of that design, we too, if we follow that same pattern, we too will grow in favor with God and with man. And that's just a matter of good interactions in the home. If you respond to authority well in the home, and you're both encouraged and loved and coming under their authority and seeing the importance of their wisdom and their boundaries, you'll end up thriving. So, you know, if there's any teenagers listening to this podcast, it's just a good reminder, because at times, you're going to feel like you know better than your parents. Good chance you probably don't. You probably need their wisdom speaking into your life. And this carries on into adulthood, in fact. I'm no longer needing to be obedient to my parents, because what we find is, you know, Ephesians 6 is talking about that word there is for actual children need to be obedient to their children. But I'm still going to honor my parents. That language is for all time. So I still learn so much from interactions with my parents. I glean wisdom from them whenever they're around. I want to honor them and how I interact with them. And I know that they can speak into my life. And that's an important thing, even as an adult. It's not the same relationship, obviously, as when children are in the household living under their parents' authority. But it's going to set your kids up for a good relationship in the future if they have these boundaries. And you do want to explain where you can, why you have certain boundaries. But there also has to be a sense in which you can say, look, we're putting limits on how much data you can use, or how many minutes you're going to be able to spend playing video games, or whatever it might be. It's good to have these limits, and that just be the case for however people interact with them, so that your kids understand, okay, this is not something that I can just do however long I want with no restrictions, because guess what? That's going to carry on into adulthood, and they're going to be thinking about these same devices. They're going to be even more advanced in the future. So we're going to be wanting to teach discipline today while they're still with us. And the biggest thing is we want to teach them the Word of God. Taking it back to Deuteronomy 6, since that's what we started with, if you can interact with your kids around Scripture and have times where you're doing some kind of family devotion, where phones are put away, TV's turned off, and you're just gathered around the Word of God, and there's a lot of super helpful children's books that can aid you in this. It's not as though you have to read for 20 minutes straight out of the Bible, there's a good chance your two-year-old is going to be like, I can't handle this. But if there's a sense in which we're going to be learning from God together, and here's something that you can maybe even ask them, what is something I can pray for you for? Or what's something that you think God is doing in your heart today? Starting conversations like that is a great way to get the ball rolling, pulling them in and not making it just a lecture, but also emphasizing we're here because we love God. We're here to worship God.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.